There was a branching olive tree inside our court, grown to its full prime, the bole like a column, thick set. Around it I built my bedroom, finished off the walls with good tight stonework, roofed it over soundly, and added doors, hung well and snugly wedged. Then I lopped the leafy crown of the olive, clean-cutting the stump bare from roots up, planing it round with a bronze-smoothing adze. I had the skill. I shaped it plumb to the line to make my bedpost, bored the holes it needed with an auger. Working from there, I built my bed, start to finish. I gave it ivory inlays, gold and silver fittings, wove the straps across it, oxhide gleaming red. There's our secret sign, I tell you, our life story. Does the bed, my lady, still stand planted firm? I don't know. Or has someone chopped away that olive trunk and hauled our bedstead off? Living proof. Penelope felt her knees go slack. Her heart surrender, recognizing the strong, clear signs Odysseus offered. She dissolved in tears, rushed to Odysseus, flung her arms around his neck and kissed his head and cried out, "Odysseus, don't flare up at me now, not you. Always the most understanding man alive. The gods, it was the gods who sent us sorrow. They grudged us both a life in each other's arms, from the heady zest of youth to the stoop of old age. But don't fault me, angry with me now, because I failed at the first glimpse to greet you, hold you, so. In my heart of hearts I always cringed with fear some fraud might come, beguile me with his talk. The world is full of the sort, cunning ones who plot their own dark ends. Remember Helen of Argos, Zeus's daughter. Would she have sported so in a stranger's bed, if she had dreamed that Achaea's sons were doomed to fight and die to bring her home again? Some god spurred her to do her shameless work. Not till then did her mind conceive that madness, blinding madness that caused her anguish, ours as well. But now, since you have revealed such overwhelming proof, the secret sign of our bed, which no one's ever seen but you and I and a single handmaid Actoris, the servant my father gave me when I came, who kept the doors of our room you built so well, you've conquered my hard heart, at last. The more she spoke, the more a deep desire for tears welled up inside his breast. He wept as he held the wife he loved, the soul of loyalty, in his arms at last. Joy, warm as the joy that shipwrecked sailors feel when they catch sight of land. Poseidon has struck their well-rigged ship on the open sea with gale winds and crushing walls of waves, and only a few escape, swimming, struggling out of the frothing surf to reach the shore, their bodies crusted with salt but buoyed up with joy as they plant their feet on solid ground again, spared a deadly fate. So joyous now to her the sight of her husband, vivid in her gaze, that her white arms embracing his neck would never for a moment let him go. Dawn with her rose-red fingers might have shone upon their tears, if with her glinting eyes Athena had not thought of one more thing. She held back the night, and night lingered long at the western edge of the earth, while in the east she reined in dawn of the golden throne at ocean's banks, commanding her not to yoke the wind-swift team that brings men light, blaze, and aurora, the young colts that race the morning on. Yet now Odysseus, seasoned veteran, said to his wife, "Dear woman, we have still not reached the end of all our trials. One more labor lies in store, boundless, laden with danger, great and long, and I must brave it out from start to finish. So the ghost of Tiresias prophesied to me the day that I went down to the house of death to learn our best route home.